Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Pei Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis. Seven lines from the bottom. V'amar Rav Levi Bo Re'ei Shloi Kamidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midus Bas V'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very different than we are. Midus Bas V'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Birech Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses brachas to Klal Yisrael, Be'eshem B'shtayim, he uses all 22 letters of the alabes to express bracha to Klal Yisrael. U'kishekilalon, and Chas V'shalom, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu curses us, says the Gemara, B'shmayna, he only uses 8 of the letters of the alabes. And the Gemara explains, Birchem B'eshem B'shtayim, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us with 22 letters of the alabes, because as the pasuk begins, im b'chukosai talechu, it begins with the letter aleph, and it ends with the words v'olach eschem kamimius, till the letter tav. So all 22 letters of the aleph base are used in the bracham, and as the Marsha explains, because in all of the letters of the aleph base there are potential bracha. Every letter of the alabes can be used to form words of bracha. And since every letter of the alabes can be used to form bracha, it's appropriate that all 22 letters of the alabes used to give us bracha. However, v'kilalam b'shmoina, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the teichacha in Parshas B'chukosai, the Torah begins with the words Vim b'chukosai tomasu. Begins with the letter with the words Vim, and it goes till the words Ves chukosai gola nafsham. So it goes from Vav to Mem. That is a total of 8 letters. And from here, the Pesukim say that when there's a question, as we're going to discuss, that there are special halachas that were said regarding the teichacha, the question is, where does the teichacha begin from? From our Gemara, it says that we see that the teichacha begins from the words v'mchukaisai tamasu, which opens up a question, who should get the aliyah of the teichacha, and how should it be given out? Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says that if a person knows that the Baal Kahira doesn't like him, that if the Baal Kahira is going to be reading the Techacha when this person whom he doesn't like gets the Aliyah, he shouldn't come take that Aliyah. It can represent bad situation. And therefore, even though the Mishnah Berurah in Aruchayim Simenun Gimel Sif Kotnan Ches says that a person, when he's reading brachas in the Torah or he's reading klolos in the Torah, should not be thinking about any individual in Klal Yisrael. However, people are concerned about getting the aliyah of the teichacha, and there are different menhagim who would get that aliyah. Some places had the minig that they would pay a person who needed the income to get the aliyah. And not only would that person who needed the payment for the aliyah take that aliyah, but when they called it up, normally when somebody's called up for an aliyah, they call him up by his name, all they would do was say, Yamud Mishir Tzalalos. Anybody who wants to take the aliyah should take it, and then after Shabbos, they would pay him. Another places, there was a minig that nobody got the aliyah. We shouldn't say Birchas HaTorah on the Teichacha. Many, the Paiskim, Ramosh, and the Chuvis, Igris Mosh, Aruchayim, Chelik, Beis, Sim, Lamed, Hei, is very against that. He says every aliyah in the Torah has to have somebody who gives an aliyah. There are other places that the Baal Kairi would take that aliyah. Other places, the Gabbai would take the aliyah. And I saw that the Sefer Leket Yosher says that there was a special Mishaberach that was said for the person who was willing to accept the aliyah of the Techacha. They would say, Mi Sheberech, Hu Yavarech, as Pliny Bava Shekibel of Techacha Satara. This person who was willing to accept the aliyah of Techacha Satara, B'schaze, in the schar that he accepted this aliyah, Yatzalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will have Hatzlacha. So the Gemara has now, till now, described the Teichacha in Parshas B'chukosai, which the Teichacha in Parshas B'chukosai was stated by a Kaddish, was said by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But we know we also have in Parshas Kisavai the Teichacha, and that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says the Gemara, Ilo Moshe Rabbeinu Baruchon, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a bracha, B'shmoina, he used 8 letters to express the bracha. But when he curses them, be'esrim v'shtayim, he uses all 22 letters of the alabes. And the Gemara explains itself. Berchem v'shmoina, he gave them the bracha with 8 brachas, because we look at the pasuk. It starts for hoya im shemaya tishma. It begins with the letter vav, and it continues until v'loy. Ad v'loy sasur mikol advar meshanoich mitzav eschem hayoyim yom and usmol laleches achrei elohim acherim laavdom. So it ends with the mem. So that's a total of 8 letters. However, the kilolon, when he curses them, when he says the techacha, he uses all 22 letters. He uses all 22 letters of the elabes. He starts with the word v'hayim shemaya, the letter Vav, and it continues until the Smakatim Shem La Ivecha La Vadon Shvachas for Ein Koina till the letter He, and goes backwards. Din Yaakov explains that why does the number 8 represent? The number 8 represents that we know that the Bris Milah is done on the 8th day, and that's why the Kohen Gadol wears the Shemayna Begadim, he has 8 Begadim. And therefore, somebody who doesn't have a bris, so as he said, a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses 8 letters, representing somebody who refuses to make a bris milah. Somebody who does the bris milah, Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a bracha with 8 letters, a bracha for every person that has a bris milah. So we see here the significance of the letter 8. The number eight, it represents a bracha for somebody who does a bris milah, and chas v'shalom the other way. The Gemara Masechet Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph teaches us Ezra Tikkalem LiYisrael. Ezra instituted in the Seder Hakriya, in the Kriya Satira, Shekaren Kol Shebetaris Kahanim, the Teichacha and Parshas B'chukosai is read Kodem Atzeres, before Shavuos. The Shavu Mishnah Torah and the Teichacha and Parshas Kisavai is read Kodem Rosh Hashanah, because Tichlo Shana V'Klol Seha. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, explains Dimri Emes, had the power to turn the Klolos onto Brachas through Torah. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. That's what the Gemara means to say here. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu used all 22 letters of the alabes to represent a klola. But even though he used all 22 letters of the alabes to represent a klola, he says the 22 letters of the alabes also represent the way the Torah is written. And if chas v'shalom, even if a person is supposed to have a klola, how could he turn it around? The way he could turn it around is by learning Torah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Makom Shenam La Begas L'Yam B'Daku, a person should always follow the Minig HaMakom. If the place they usually sell in a large heap, they shouldn't sell in small, and so too vice versa. Simen Eim Ein Vein Gotshim Ba'a Gadamim U'Belitra Shloshiv Ha'esra Nefesh Mishkoyos B'machik Ava Lo'Sasa Lo'Yasa. Tanar Abadam Anayin Shei Merkim V'Makom Shigotshim, in a place where they flatten out the heap that's being sold, that you shouldn't, in a place where they give a heap, you shouldn't flatten out, or vice versa. Tamalayma efeshlema yiloch. The Torah says that sometimes you have to have a proper measure. And even if the buyer and the seller, this is the way all the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that even if the buyer and the seller are agreeable to follow whatever special arrangements they have, don't do it. Because if somebody's going to see that we're selling it this way, they will not know because there's a special arrangement between the buyer and the seller, and it could lead to people getting financially cheated. If somebody says, yes, over here we sell a heap, but I want to sell flattened, and lifchus lemin adamim will deduct from the price, or vice versa. Hareni goydish b'makom shemarkim. In this place, they always sell the exact amount, and he says, let's sell more, and lohaysu l'adamim, I'll pay extra, she'en shemim loy, we don't pay attention. And here, the way I sort of Rishonim explained the Gemara, but the first case is that it wasn't well known about that special arrangement between the seller and the buyer. But this Gemara is teaching us that even if what they agree to is well known, and since what they agree to is well known, maybe therefore they don't have to follow the minig hamakim, tells us the pasuk tamalaymer. The pasuk says eifeshleim v'tzedek yilecha. You always have to follow the minig hamakim. Don't do anything that could lead to something not being done right, because not everybody is necessarily going to know about this arrangement. Tanabonin, Menayin, Shem Ainim B'Mokim Shemachrim, as we discussed in our previous year, we'll discuss it again, that when you use a scale, you're supposed to tip the scale in the favor of the buyer. So for the place that's the way everybody sells, that they tip the scale in the favor of the buyer, how do we know that you're not allowed to do it exact? And vice versa, if it's a place that they don't sell that way, you're not supposed to do that. Tamloima even shleima yilach, follow the minhag hamakom. Umenayin, and continues the Gemara similarly. Shomar, if the seller says hareini me'ayin b'makom shemachriim, I'm going to sell exact, but ulifchus leimin adamim will deduct from the price. Or somebody says hareini machriim b'makom shemayinim. This place, everybody sells the exact amount. And he says, I'm going to tilt it and we'll pay extra for that extra that's being given. We may not do so. Don't do anything that could cause somebody to make a mistake. Amar Rav Yehuda Misura. The pasuk says, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? Because what's the reason? Mishum eifa ve'eifa. If you have two types of measure, if you have two types of measure in your home, the halacha is that it's going to cause that somebody beischa. It will affect your home. It'll affect your financial. It'll affect your financial situation. The pasuk also says lo yelecha b'ksischa even gedoyel ve'eved ketana in your packet. Ma tam. Why won't you, chas v'shalom, why will it come, that somebody won't, chas v'shalom, have money in his wallet? Because he wasn't honest with his measurement. But, says the Gemara, if you have a person that is scrupulous in his honesty in his business dealings, you will have, baruch Hashem, panosa. You'll have money. Even though our Gemara is teaching us that sometimes if the minig hamakom is to be exact in the measurements, that's what you should do. There's one exception, and that's only during the week. And the Ram Shik says in the Tshuvas that in a place during the week, our Gemara just said, we always have to follow the minig hamakom. But if there's a place that on Shabbos where you're measuring for somebody, And the halacha is that on Shabbos, medida, unless it's medida shel mitzvah, is asur. So then on Shabbos, even if it's a place that they always measure exactly, they should not do so on Shabbos if they're measuring something, if they're giving something to somebody and they want to know how much they're giving. Tanabanan, as we just learned, that two psukim that speak about a person being careful about not having dishonest weights. The Torah says, lo yilcha b'ksischa evin gedol v'evin ketana, lo yilcha b'beischa v'efa gedol v'ketana. Why does the Torah, the Gemara's question is, have to have two psukim to teach us this halacha? Teach us yilcha, to teach us melamed shebez ma'midim agadrim l'midos. There were special people who were appointed inspectors to make sure that the weights were honest. But they did not have to appoint special inspectors to make sure that people weren't overcharging. Why? Because if somebody is, if the weights are dishonest, the customer has no way of knowing that. So you have to have inspectors to make sure. But if the price will be over in charge, the market itself will even itself out, because the people who are overcharged were going to start buying somewhere else, and therefore we don't need to have inspectors to intervene. The price will even itself out by itself. It says the Gemara, however, the Bay Nasiya, the home of the Nasi Ukima Agdiman, they appointed inspectors, Bay Lamidas, Bay Lisharim, for both of them. Amalei Shmuel Akana, Puk Tanilhu, teach them that the halacha is mamidim agdam lamidus, that for the weights we have to appoint inspectors, ve mamidim agdam lasharm, but we don't appoint inspectors for the prices. Nofik v'darsh lahu, and Karna went, and when he said this halacha, he said not as Shmuel taught him, but rather he said mamidim agdam ben lamidus ben lasharm, that we do for both. Amalei, so Shmuel was obviously very upset because he told him to say the halacha in one way and he chose to say the halacha differently. Amalei, so Shmuel said to Karna, Mash Shimcha, what is your name? So he said, my name is Karna. Karna means a horn. So he said, typically Karna be'enei, he said, you should be punished that a horn should come out of your eye. Nafkle Karna Be'enei, and that's indeed what happened. So Ben Yoyada says, it's not that Shmuel did not know that his name was Karna. He knew his name was Karna. He wanted to say, the punishment I'm going to give you relates to your name. Why did he, says the In Yaakov, specifically punish him with the eye? Because he says that the Gemara Masechet Ksubis, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, tells us there was an episode that Karna once took a bribe. He thought that he's allowed to take a bribe because he took a bribe from both parties. And he said a bribe may not be taken if you're only taking it from one party, but that's not true. You're not allowed to take a bribe from even if you're taking from both. And the Torah says, regarding bribery, so because Karna had taken a bribe, it was appropriate that his eye should be the one that's punished. The Rabbeinu Chananel says it's not that a horn grew out of his eye, but rather his eye got covered. I saw a number of pshatim. He got cataract. The Rishonim also ask that the Gemara says that Rav was the one that cursed him, that he should lose his eyesight, that this should happen. And here it's saying that it was Shmuel. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that both of these things that Karna did caused them to suffer. Another pshat that I saw is that one affected one eye, that this punishment that he suffered from affected both eyes, one the right eye, one the left eye, one because of Rav, one because of Shmuel. Viyu, and says the Gemara, but Karna, who disregarded what Shmuel said, and he said that you have to point inspectors for both, asked the Gemara command sava, whose opinion was he following? Says the Gemara, Kiyadar Amr Rabbi Chama Bagama Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma'amidim Agdam Ben Lamidis Ben L'Shemarim, that we have to appoint inspectors both for weights and for the pricing of Nei Harumoim. Because there's going to be times that the buyer is under pressure and he doesn't have a chance, the Rashbam explains, to go look where you could get this merchandise for a better price. And therefore, to make sure that there's no overcharging, you have to have inspectors at Karnefeld all the time. Tarnan Abanim, Haim Avakish, if the buyer wants to buy from the seller, Haim Avakish Menu Litra, he wants to buy a litra of meat, Shoykaloi Litra, you should take a weight, the litra weight, and put it on one side of the scale, and a meat equal to a litra on the other side of the scale. Litra, Chatzi Litra, if he wants to buy a Chatzi Litra, Shoykaloi Chatzi Litra, so you should put out a Chatzi Litra of meat, and reveal litra, and if you want to, and a weight on the other side, and reveal litra, shekelay reveal litra, says the Gemara. My Kamashmon, what are we learning here? Of course, this is the way meat is sold, by weight. Answers the Gemara, what we learn here is the maskinin and miskliat hachi, that we have weights down to a quarter of a litra, but we don't have weights that are smaller than that. Because if you're going to have a weight that's smaller than a quarter of a litra, people are not going to recognize, because these are such small weights, and it becomes easy to cheat. So to avoid that, we don't have weights that are smaller than a quarter, that are a quarter of a litra. And as the Yad Ramah says, the weights that they're supposed to have, that they use, have to be made in a way that it's obvious that there's a difference in weight between the different weights. When you're going to have weights that are very similar in size, when you're going to have weights that are very similar in size, it becomes very easy that that should be abused. If the buyer wants to get 3/4 of a litra, and the seller doesn't have a weight of that size, don't sell 3 1/4 litra, because as we've learned and will continue learning, that there's halacha machrim, you always have to tilt on behalf of the buyer. And if we're going to keep on selling this in three separate ways, it's going to be a terrible disadvantage to the seller. El shoykro litra, weigh a litra, because that's the weight that he has, mneach revi litra and basra, and then together with the meat, put in the quarter litra weight that you have, and you'll only have to be machriya once. Tanrabanim, haimavak shmenu esilitrim, if somebody wants to buy 10 litra of meat, layoyim l'shkoli achas v'chriya, don't sell it in 10 separate portions, and then you'll have to do this tilting 10 separate times, which will be to the disadvantage of the seller. A shark like Columbus Achas, you put the entire 10 litra at one time on the scale, and then you machri of a nice achrachas lekulon, you do only achra once. When we speak about the scale in the time of Chazal, there were a number of parts. There were a number of parts to the scale. There's one part that's called the nefesh, and that's like this stick from which, it's like a chain with which the scale was hung from the ceiling. Next to that is attached a kana, is a crossbar that is attached to the nefesh. And then you have the two sides. You have chains going down from the two sides of this kana. And you had the two sides of the scale, the chains that attach the kana to the baskets which you weighed are called misna. And what the Gemara discusses here is what is the proper distance between the kana, and the ceiling. So, because if there's too much of a distance, it'll be easier to make more of a tilt. If there's too little, you won't be able to get a proper tilt. So says the Gemara, in order to make sure that everything is done properly, talking about a nefesh miznayim, when we speak about this chain that connects the scale to the ceiling, Tluya ba'avir shlosh tefachim. There should be a distance of three tefachim. If there's going to be more, then there'll be able to be too much of achra. If there's going to be less, there's going to be too little of achra. Gvayim and aretz, and similarly, the change should be above the ground. The scale should be above the ground. Shlosh tefachim. Kana u'misne shala. When we speak about the kana, which is attached to the nefesh, and then we speak about the misna, which is attached to the kana, there should be a total of 12 tefachim. The kana should be 4 tefachim, and the strings should be 4 tefachim. 4 plus 4 plus 4 equal 12. So it means the width of the kana is 4 tefachim, and each misna is 4 tefachim from the kana down to the bottom of the basket. Shat samarim, however, says the Gemara, when we're selling wool, the shagogim, or where we're selling glass, which are very light materials, so there the scale should be suspended from the ceiling. Tluya ba'avir shnei tefachim, and gvayim min ha'aretz shnei tefachim, and here the total of the kana and the misna should be shlosh tefachim. That means the kana should be 3 tefachim long, 1.5 and 1.5 in each side, and each side, the misna and the basket, should be 3 tefachim. Shel chanvani v'shel balabayis, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, these are people who sell items in small quantities, so there the achra can make a big difference. So there, it's tluya ba'ave tefach, it's suspended from the ceiling by a tefach. Gvayim an aretz tefach, v'kana u'misna shloy shisha tefachim. 2 tefachim for the kana, and 2 tefachim for each side. Shel tortani, people who sell silver and gold, so there, obviously, any extra makes a big difference. So there, it's tluya ba'ave shalosh etzbos, it should be suspended from the ceiling with 3 etzbos. Gvayim an aretz shalosh etzbos, it should be above the ground, only 3 etzbos. V'kanu misna shala eni yedeya, I can't, says the Gemara, tell you exactly what is the shear. A different girsa I saw is loitanan. They did know what the shear is, but there is no Mishnah that taught us the shear, and therefore he didn't want to say it. Says the Gemara, if we're speaking, when we spoke about the first scale with 3 tefachim, elahach kamais demai, for what material do we have that type of a scale? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa der Mumi. It's speaking about people who sell big pieces of copper and big pieces of metal, and they're very heavy, so therefore we have to have this bigger scale with this larger suspension. That's like we said, that we have to be careful as far as the weights, that we should not be doing something that's improper. We know, as we always speak, that Kalim, I'm a Kabbal Tumah. This, the Rashbam explains, that this Kali, a scale that's not accurate, is a scale that you're not supposed to have, a scale that you're supposed to break. And the halacha is that any scale that you're not allowed to have, that you're not allowed to have any benefit from, that you ultimately have to destroy, is not considered a keli. And since it's not considered a keli, it can't, because it's not going to, it should not be kept around, so therefore it's not a keli as far as Hichas Kabbalah's Tumah. Ask the Gemara Mashmalan, what is Ramani coming to teach us? Tanina, have we not learned in a Mishnah Masech the Kalim? Perek Chav Tes, Mishnah Hei, Hachot Maznaim Shel Chanvani Shebal Batim, the string of the scale of the Chanvani Bal Batim, what we've been calling the Nefesh, is a Tefach. And that's obvious that if it's not done right, it's not a Keli. And it's the Gemara to teach us what we're trying to learn in our Gemara is regarding the Kano Misna Shalot Tzuchalei. The Mishnah Loitanan doesn't teach us exactly those shiurim, and our Mishnah is teaching us, our Gemara is teaching us the shiurim, and not only is our Gemara teaching us the shiurim, But what our Gemara is saying is that if a scale is not constructed, if a scale is not constructed properly, that's the scale that should be destroyed. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan ein oisim machik. So as we spoke about the heap of whatever is being sold and you want to straighten it out, you shouldn't make it out of delas. Delas is cucumber. Neshukal. It's too light and it's not going to, it shouldn't, it's not going to smooth out this properly. On the other hand, loy shel matchis. It shouldn't be made out of metal. Neshumachbid. It's too heavy and it, what's going to do is it's going to press into what's being sold and again, it won't be sold properly. El avalai seyu, what material should be made? It should be made mishel zayis, olive wood, egoiz, walnut wood, shikma vishel esproya. They have the right, balance. Tanabana eneses amachik, tzidachar av, tzidachar kotzer. You're not allowed to make it one side thick and one side thin because you could then misuse it. Sometimes you'll use what's always to your benefit. Furthermore, when you're straightening out the top, don't do it at one time. Because, says the Gemara, if you do it that way, it's good. It's bad for the seller and good for the buyer because it's not going to be straightened out properly. Don't do a little at a time. There, it's not good for the seller, for the buyer. Too much is going to be taken off. For Yafel HaMeichav, it's good for the seller. Says the Gemara, Akulon, regarding all the halachas that we've been discussing in this Gemara about different types of equipment, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai commented, Oileim Oimer. I don't have a good solution. Should I say about this, or should I not say these halakas? Why? If I will say, there's a concern, Shema Yilmadu Aramayim. The people who are dishonest will learn from the halacha how to act dishonestly. Vim Moy Oimer, however, if I won't say, Shema Yilmadu Aramayim, there's a concern that these dishonest people will say that Ein Talmid Chachamim b'kiyim b'mas yedeinu. We could fool the Talmid Chachamim. And of course, the Torah, it teaches us everything that we're supposed to know, and a person who is a Talmud Chachim does know what to say. I saw that the Anaf Yosef explains that why was it specifically Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who had this concern? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai le'soch suches chilum yomav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was extremely careful in what he said. And therefore, since he measured his word, and he was always concerned, is what I'm saying something that should be said or something that I shouldn't say? That's why, because he was so careful in what he said, he thought, should I say this or not? And therefore asked the Gemara, what happened at the end? Ibailu, Amra or Loy Amra? Did he say this halach in the Beis Medrash or not? Amra Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amra, he said it. Ma kra, what did he base himself on? This based it on, but the Pasuk says in Hosea, Ki Yisharm Dark Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchabam, Upoishim Yikashlambam. We have to learn the Torah. And our job is to learn the Torah and learn it the way we're supposed to learn. If somebody, chas v'sholem, will abuse the Torah that he learns to learn to do something wrong, that is not something that we have to be concerned with. I saw there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that a person, after he leaves the world, the first question that he's asked is Nosata v'Nosata b'Amuna. Did you act honestly? But that's the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. In Masechta Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Tchilas Dinah Shel Adam is the very Torah. He's asked,
Kavati itim l'toira. And Tosfos already asked the question, what is first? So I saw that the Sefer Knesset Yisrael explains. First they ask a person, Nusata v'nusata b'amuna. Did you act honestly in all of your business dealings? If we see that indeed the person acted that way, then they ask him, Asakta b'toira. Did you learn Torah? So he explains. We're learning in our Gemara that if somebody who is dishonest, it may be better that he shouldn't learn Torah, because he's going to use the Torah that he learned in a wrong way. So first we ask him. First they will ask him, Shemayim, Nosata v'nosata b'amuna, were you an honest person? If you were an honest person, now we could say to you, now, if you're honest, so you should be a person that learns Torah, and then they asked him, Kavati itim l'Torah, did you indeed learn Torah? But if you were a person that wasn't honest, that's not honest, you're better off not learning. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that that's the whole point of Torah. The point of Torah is to teach us that to make us into a better person. But if the Torah doesn't make us into a better person, that isn't the Torah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Tanah Baran, the Pasuk says, V'sasa ova b'mishpat b'mida b'mishkol u'b'mesura. B'mida is referring to Medidas Karka. When we're measuring land, we have to be honest. What does that mean? Shlayim doid, we shouldn't measure property. Let's say you have two people that are yorshim, that inherit a piece of property, or two partners that are dividing a piece of property. Don't measure lechem b'maisik chama, one in the summer, lechem b'maisik shem, one in the winter. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that in the summer, the string is dry, and therefore takes up less space. In the winter, it's moist from the rain. There's some Rishonim that say just the opposite. And some say that the issue here is not on the string that's being used to measure the ground. We're speaking about the ground itself. Sometimes in the winter, the ground is hard and more contracted. In the summer, there are cracks in the ground, and there's space in the ground, and therefore it's longer. You won't get the same type of measurement. B'mishko, says the Mara, Shalayatman Mishkolaisa B'melech. You have to be careful not to store your weights in salt. And there's different explanation what the salt accomplishes. Some say that the salt adds weight, and some say that the salt takes off from the weight. Menachas Chinuch says, we learned earlier in our shiur today, the layir bebeischa eifa ve'eifa, that you're not allowed to have dishonest weights in your home, in your pocket. So why do we have to have this pasuk? Says the Menachas Chinuch that the Gemara here is teaching us that not only, obviously, may you not allow to have those types of weights in your home. As soon as you start doing something dishonest with your weights, even though you haven't used those weights, even though you haven't completed doing anything, just having those types of weights in your home, just doing anything of this sort is considered usur. The Mesura, says the Gemara, Shlo Yasiach, you shouldn't put wine, when you're measuring wine, so you shouldn't measure the wine very quickly. Because when you pour the wine that you're going to measure quickly, there's going to be foam. That foam is not really wine. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that. That also represents dishonesty. So the Rishonim ask, why do we have to have a pasuk? Isn't this Gezela? So says the Seder Rishonim, cheating in such a manner is considered Gezela. What the Gemara here is teaching us is that even preparing, you know, you'll boil up the wine or you'll make your wine very foamy. And the reason you'll do so is because by making it that way, you'll be able to ultimately cheat. Just doing that alone is already considered, usur. Kav Chaimer, says the Gemara. Uma Masura, if we speak about the Masura, she'echem shloish v'shisha belug, it's a 36th of a log. Hikbidal of Torah, the Torah was so careful how it must be honest. So certainly, when we speak about larger measures, kav Chaimer lehen v'chatzi in v'shlishas in v'rvias ahen v'loig, v'chatzi loig v'rvias, v'chatzi toimen, v'uchla, all these are larger shiurim, how much more so must we be careful to make sure that everything is done in the most honest fashion. You're not allowed to have in your home something that's a dishonest weight, even if it is not your intention to use that dishonest weight. I feel a bit shemayim, or even if you just want to use it for a urinal, says the Gemara. Amra papa loya marin. This halacha that you're not allowed to have dishonest weights in your home is only be'asad loichsimi, in a place where there are no, where weights aren't expected to have seals on them. Av ba'asad loichsimi, in a place where weights have seals, iloi chazi chsima, if the person wants to use the weight, sees there's no seal, loishakro. And therefore, the fact that you have the weight won't make you do the wrong thing. Ba'asad loichsimi nami lamara aloi mandasi, where there aren't inspectors that come to check the weights. Avabandasi, if they're inspected to check the weights, loy less lamba, because the inspectors will make sure that you're only using what's correct. Says the Gemara, but that isn't true. Because loyhi, even in a place where there are inspectors, sometimes, zimna de mekri banish mushes, it's right before Shabbos, and you're in you're rushed to buy, and the inspectors aren't paying attention, and inspectors aren't expected to come at such a time right before Shabbos, and you're going to use, or mikri v'shakul, you may use the wrong type of weight. And tanya nami hocha, la yisha odam midach seri yisera b'tach besoy, a person may not have in his home any dishonest weights, because v'afilu la'abit shemei regalim, if you want to use it for a urinal. The Sefer Bas Ayin says that is another pshat. La'yisha adam midach seri, but you say b'tach besoy. B'tach besoy means inside, in your pnimius. A person should be careful that not only what he does publicly should be done, in the most proper fashion, but even b'tach besoy, even in the privacy of your home, in the privacy, everything, your toichai kabaroi, everything should be done properly. And I saw that Sefer Chashukei Chemet says that, let's say there's a situation where somebody is selling something under duress. He doesn't really want to sell what he's selling. He's not getting the price that he's supposed to be getting. Is he allowed to cheat on the weights because he's being already forced to sell at a price that he doesn't want to sell? And he wants to suggest that our Gemara is teaching us how critical honesty is, and even though you're being forced to sell and you shouldn't have to sell this altogether, that doesn't give you the right to do something which is dishonest.